Hello, my name is Stacey Nechama Goldman. Welcome to Torats Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Vav, Chapter 6. The previous chapter focused on one specific line of the descendants of Levi. This chapter repeats Levi in all three of his sons, Gershom, Kehat, and Merari. Even though we usually refer to him as Gershon with a nun, Radak assures us that Gershom and Gershon are one and the same. The genealogy continues to list the children of each son of Levi. Radak explains that some families are not mentioned, as the chapter then proceeds to list only those descendants that participated in the singing in the temple. At first glance, the list of the family as Kahat is very confusing. We have seen the common language of imparting the chain of father and son is to say, as we see in verse 7, B'nei Kahat, Aminadav b'no, Korach b'no, Asir b'no, the sons of Kahat, Aminadav his son, Korach his son, Asir his son. However, verse 8 veers from this pattern in that it is not a list of different generations, father to son, but rather the three sons of Korach, all of one generation, Elkanah b'no, Ve'evyasaf b'no, Ve'asir b'no, Elkanah his son, and Evyasaf his son, and Asir his son. You can hear how it is written in the same way, but has a totally different meaning. How do we know this? Because in the short genealogy in Exodus chapter 6, preceding the 10 plagues, we see clearly in verse 24, Uvenei Korach, Asir, ve'Elkanah, ve'Evyasaf, Ela Mishpachot HaKarchi. And the sons of Korach were Asir, Elkanah, and Evyasaf. These are the family of the Korahites, all three sons mentioned in our verse. Now this information leads us to an even greater question. Didn't we learn in the story of Korach in Bamidbar chapter 16, when he led a rebellion against Moshe's leadership, that he and his entire family were swallowed up by the earth? The mystery deepens in Bamidbar chapter 26, when Moshe is taking a census of the Jewish people at the end of their 40-year journey in the desert. In relating the descendants of Reuven, the Torah recounts how Datan and Aviram, descendants of Reuven, joined with Korach, descendant of Levi, in his rebellion, and they were all swallowed up by the earth. The story ends with a mysterious statement in verse 11, Ubnei Korach lo metu. Korach's sons, however, did not die. Even more interesting is that there are many chapters of Tehillim, Psalms, that are attributed to the sons of Korach. Rashi explains in the first of these Psalms, in Tehillim chapter 42, of the sons of Korach, Asir, Elkanah, and Eviasaph. At first, they were in their father's council, but at the time of the controversy, they parted. And when all those around them were swallowed up and the earth opened its mouth, their place was left within the mouth of the earth, as the matter that is stated in Bamidbar 26:11, but the sons of Korach did not die. There they uttered a song, and there they composed these psalms. Then they ascended from there, and the Holy Spirit rested on them, whereupon they prophesied concerning the exiles, the destruction of the temple, and the Davidic dynasty. What does it mean that they parted at the time of the controversy? Why were they saved? On the verse in Bamidbar stating that they did not die, Rashi explains that they had hirhurei tshuva, fleeting thoughts of repentance. It is amazing what we can accomplish for ourselves and future generations by simply taking the time to think about our actions and feeling regret. Through these thoughts, Korach's sons merited to live, became prophets who wrote poetry that was recited in the temple, and as we will see as we continue this line of Korach, become the ancestors of Shmuel Hanavi, the prophet. There seem to be a number of men named Elkanah in this chapter. The first Elkanah is the son of Korach. The next is his great-grandson, the son of Achimot, the son of Amasai. A couple of generations later, we have another Elkanah who is featured in the book of Shmuel as the husband of Hannah, the parents of Shmuel. In fact, Rashi explains in Bamidbar chapter 16, verse 7, the reason Korach engaged in this rebellion with so much confidence is that he saw through a prophetic vision that Shmuel would be his descendant. He thought he was destined for greatness, and that's why he had the confidence to rebel against Moshe. More confusion arises when we reach Shmuel and his sons. The verse says, Uvnei Shmuel habechor Vashni va'avia. It seems from this translation that he had two sons named Vashni and Avia. This is the first explanation Rashi gives. However, the word Vashni can also be understood as Vasheni, the second one. In this case, he would have an unnamed firstborn son and a second son named Avia. In any case, we know from Shmuel 1, chapter 8, verse 2, that Shmuel had two sons. The older's name was Yoel, and the younger was Avia. Verse 16 introduces us to the Levi'im that King David stationed to sing in the house of the Lord since the ark was deposited. What exactly is meant by the house of the Lord? The temple would not be built for several years until after King David died and his son Shlomo built it. Radak explains that David brought the ark to Yerushalayim, where it remained under a tent that David pitched until the temple would be constructed. David had the singers stationed before the ark, as they would later serve in the temple. The text then proceeds to list each generation's head of each of the three children of Levi, Kehat, verses 18 to 23, Gershom, verses 24 to 28, and Merari, verses 29 to 32. What is interesting to note, as each head is traced backwards through his lineage, it is only the descendants of Kehat that go all the way back to Yisrael, also known as Yaakov. In contrast to this, when Korach, also a descendant of Kehat, is introduced in chapter 16 of Bamidbar, his lineage only goes back to Levi, the sons of Yaakov. Yikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kehat ben Levi. And Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kehat, the son of Levi, took. The Midrash Tanchuma picks up on this discrepancy and explains that it relates to Yaakov's blessing of his children at the end of Bereshit in chapter 49. With regard to Shimon and Levi, he says in verse 6, "Let my soul not enter their council, my honor you shall not join their assembly." The Midrash tells us that the first half of the verse concerns the spies, and the second half, Korach. Yaakov was saying to Hashem, "Do not mention my name with regard to the spies or Korach, for these are wicked people that cause anger. When should you mention my name? When they unite to stand to serve me, as it is written in our verses, 22 and 23, the son of Asir, the son of Eviasaph, the son of Korach, the son of Yizhar, the son of Kehat, the son of Levi, the son of Yisrael." Verse 33 tells us of a different category of Levi. Ve'acheihem ha-Levi'im nitunim l'chol avodat mishkan beit ha-Elokim. And their brethren, the Levites, were appointed for the entire service of the tabernacle of the house of God. Radak explains that these were Levi'im that did not sing, but rather they were in charge of moving the Mishkan when it needed to be moved and would guard the gates once it was brought to the temple in its permanent residence. Next, we trace the Kohanim from Aaron to Achimaatz, the first Kohen Gadol to serve in the built first temple. Radak explains that after describing the role of the Levi'im in the temple, we now mention the role of the Kohanim. Our chapter concludes with a list of the land given over to the Kohanim and Levi'im from each tribe. The Kohanim and Levi'im did not receive an inheritance in the land of Israel like the other tribes. This land serves as payment for their services according to the Radak. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.